There was a game show. There was one, I believe, in the '80s. Excuse me. It was called A Love Connection. And if you remember that game show, it's okay. You didn't sin if you watched it. And I was sitting down yesterday, struggling. Lord, what is the direction that I was planning on going doesn't feel right. So I'm not going to continue. I'm going to stop. And you're going to have to tell me which way you want me to go. Then I said, well, let me go upstairs and get something to drink. I wanted to get a little buy iced tea. And as I got up, I heard The Love Connection. I took two steps and I stopped. I said, The Love Connection. I'm talking about the message. You're talking about game shows. And he's like, son, The Love Connection is the title. And I said, well, I went up and told him, I finally got the direction. Because, again, I can always come and teach something, but I don't want to do that. I want to teach what God wants you to hear. That's the purpose. Otherwise, you could just wake up Sunday morning, grab any tape you want, and play it. But you came here to get truth. You came here to get a word from God to you. And we're still in the Family Values series. And I believe this is the seventh message in that series. And this one is called The Love Connection. So turn to me to Ephesians 3. I'm going to share verse 14 and 19 in the Johnson paraphrase. I'm going to get in what I can get in about 12 minutes. Oh, no, I have 27 minutes. Oh, we're good. Okay. In the Johnson paraphrase, it says, because I don't want you to become discouraged, I offer this prayer to the Father who has given his name to the whole family of God, both in heaven and on earth. May he give you an infusion of strength in the depths of your being by the Spirit. I pray that your trust, your faith, will enable Christ to settle down in you so that you will be grounded in love. I hope that you will be able to grasp with all God persons the multidimensional love of God, a love broad enough to include everybody, long enough to reach the ends of the earth, deep enough to unify our human fragmentation, and high enough to reach the very heart of God. Actually, I want you to know the love of Christ, which is beyond knowing. Experiencing love like this, may you be overwhelmed with the awareness of the presence of God. Now, I read that, and I've been reading that passage a lot the last 7-8 weeks. And while I knew what it was saying, I knew there was something I was missing. I don't know if that's ever happened to you. You read something, it's like, okay, God, I hear it, but there's something else. And so I started looking for the something else. Because that's who I am. I want the something else. I want the whole picture. What do they call it? The whole Megillah. Paul said that he wants us to be able to grab with all the God persons the multidimensional love of God. That means the expectations that all of God's children should be able to grab hold of every aspect of his love. You know how it's wide, deep, long, high. But he said something that I thought was very powerful. He said, actually, I want you to know the love of Christ, which is beyond knowing. Now, we got to hang there for a minute. He said, I want you to know, K-N-O-W. What does know mean? That was a question I asked myself. Do I know what know means? And we think that we know. Because we use that word probably every day. Especially when you're in a conversation, someone's trying to tell you something, you say, I know. So I went to the dictionary. To perceive or understand as fact or truth. To understand clearly and with certainty. To have established or fixed in the mind or memory, and to be cognizant of it. So this is what Paul was saying. The love of God is truth, it's a certainty. We should have it established in our thoughts, and we're always aware of it. Always aware of it. Now, when we get to that place, there's no way we'll ever walk out of love. But because we sometimes do, it means that we don't know the love of Christ. We're not at that place where we know it beyond knowing, where we know it beyond questioning. But I found some additional definitions. I looked in some different dictionaries, some different sources. To recognize the nature of means to know. We're supposed to recognize immediately that either the nature of love is present or it's not. Immediately. Not something, am I walking in love? If you're asking yourself that question, you're probably not. To listen to this one. To recognize as being the same as something previously known. To have a practical understanding. As God's children, we are called. We're supposed to be able to recognize all of the characteristics of the God kind of love. All of them. We need to understand that we've seen it and we've experienced it. That's why Jesus had the right to say, a new commandment I give you, love one another the same way I love you. You love one another, because we recognize that. We're aware of how he loved us. And we have to come to the understanding that we're supposed to be the same. That means someone should be able to say to others, love others the same way I love you. That's what we should be able to say, or what should be said concerning us. Vincent could go to people and say, no, love others the same way I love you. Why? Because he loves the same way Jesus loves, which is the same way God loves. He's made that connection. He's gotten that understanding. And that's what God expects from us. Paul is really saying that he's praying. We get the understanding to do that because we've already been instructed on how it's done. Look at John 4, 1 John 4. You know these verses, 7 and 8, King James. Beloved or beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Everyone born of God recognizes that they are the same that of what was previously made known to them. It was made known to me how God loves me. I have to do the same way. it has to be made known to other people how much I love them, because they'll understand that I can only love them like that because I've experienced that kind of love from God. I have knowledge of how God loved me. And if I am not loving, if I am not forgiving, because forgiveness is one of the proofs that love exists. So if I'm not forgiving, then I'm not demonstrating that I know God. Because God is love. And everyone that loveth knoweth God. What that is saying is I know of God, but I don't know God. Because if I knew God, if I took the time to develop that intimacy where I know God, I'll know how he loves me, and I know I'll have a responsibility to love others the same way. Because as I've received, I'm supposed to give. That's why the Johnson paraphrase says, I pray that your trust will enable Christ to settle down in you so that you will be grounded in love. And he says, I hope, and this is Paul, he's praying in Ephesians prayer. I hope that you will be able to grab with all God persons, with all born again believers, the multidimensional love of God. Because love is, it's simple but complex. Simple in that it's easy to do, but it encompasses a lot of things. And we have to connect with that love of God so that we can connect with each other. And once we connect with each other, then we can connect with the world. But if we're not connecting with the world, it's because we're not connecting with each other. And if we're not connecting with each other, it's because we're not connecting with God. You're wondering, how did the world get in there? John 3:16, Amplified Version. For God so greatly loved and dearly prized all the saints. God so greatly loved and dearly prized all that people that bless me. No, it says God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave up his only begotten unique son, so that whoever believes in, trusts and clings to, relies on him, shall not perish, come to destruction, be lost, but have eternal life. But have eternal life. He did this to the world who had not yet confessed that Jesus is their Savior. He did this to a world who didn't even confess that he's God. Didn't acknowledge that he was God. But he loved them anyway, that he gave the best that he could possibly give. He gave it all. We have a hard time giving some. Verse 17, again, when you think about unforgiveness, think about this verse. God did not send the Son into the world in order to judge, to reject, to condemn, to pass sentence on the world, but that the world might find salvation and be made safe and sound through him. What that person did to you was wrong. By every definition of the word wrong, it was wrong. But because of who we say we are, they have a right to expect forgiveness. They have a right to expect it. Because we said, I'm a child of the Most High God. I do what God says. Well, Ephesians 5 says, be imitators of God. He so loved the world. He didn't come to reject, to condemn. And he didn't come to love the world from a distance. He got up close. No, let's talk about that for a minute. Because I was in a conversation with a friend of mine yesterday. He called me and we were talking about this. There are a lot of logical reasons for loving someone at a distance. There are a lot of logical reasons. That person could behave in such a way that doesn't bring out the best in you. So you say, I got to do that because I got to avoid the appearance of evil. That person may have done something detrimental to you or one of yours. I get the theory behind love from a distance. The problem I'm having, I don't see it in the Word. I see forgiveness. I see restoration. And I began to, yet last night as I was sitting there meditating on this, and as I was sitting there, I forgot the clocks went ahead. So next thing I knew, it was 20 to 4. But that's okay. Because as I was thinking about it, I said, maybe the person knew what they were doing, or maybe they didn't. But I know. I know that I am supposed to be an imitator of God. I know I have this love connection with my Father. And I also know that that love connection is tied into me receiving from God. Because he's the one who said, when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. Because if you do not forgive, neither will my Father in heaven forgive you. So when I talk about loving from a distance, because you're concerned that if you love close, you might get hurt again. My question is, where is your faith? Faith worketh through love. So if I'm not operating fully in the measure of love, is my faith all that it can be? That's a question you have to ask yourself. It takes faith. Folks, I'm telling you this, and you probably know, I have a PhD. I have a doctorate in unforgiveness and getting even. So I'm telling you this from personal experience. My philosophy wasn't get over it, it was get even. And I would go through whatever length was necessary, because when I got you, it was good. And it wasn't from a distance. So I'm telling you this. The reason I said that is I know how it feels. I know how I felt when folks have did something to me. And I had to get even. And no, there was no way I was going to forgive them. No way. I wasn't a believer, but that's still no excuse. God didn't send his son into the world to judge. When you're operating unforgiveness, you are judging. And you put yourself in a position where you're judging, where you will be judged. Because you're saying, what this person did is not worthy of my forgiveness. God so loved the world, I have now just devalued that person. They're not worth God's love. Because it's God's love in me that allows me to forgive. So if I make that love connection with God, part of that love connection is forgiving. thought I had a lot of time. Listen to this. Ephesians 4, I'm going to read five verses, starting with verse 11 out of the Passion Translation. This is when it talks about God appointing pastors, prophets, evangelists. It says he appointed some with the grace to be apostles, some with grace to be prophets, with grace to be evangelists, some with grace to be pastors, some with grace to be teachers. And their calling was to nurture and prepare all the holy believers to do their own works of ministry. And as they do this, they will enlarge and build up the body of Christ. These grace ministries will function until we all attain oneness in faith, until we all experience the fullness of what it means to know the Son of God. To know. And finally, we become one into a perfect man with the full dimensions of spiritual maturity and fully developed into the abundance of Christ. When that happens, and then our immaturity will end. And we will not be easily shaken by trouble, nor led astray by novel teachings or by false doctrines of deceivers who teach clever lies. But instead, we will remain strong and always sincere in our love as we express the truth. It's evident that we love while we're telling people the truth, not pounding the truth into them, telling them the truth. All of our direction and ministries will flow from Christ and lead us deeper into Him, the anointed head of the body, the church. For His body, listen, it's talking about us. For His body has been formed into His image and is closely joined together and constantly connected as one. And every member has been given divine gifts to contribute to the growth of all, and these gifts operate effectively throughout the whole body. We're built up and made perfect in love. We can only be built up and made perfect in love if we all have a love connection with God. And it requires a couple of things. John 14, verse 6. I'm going to read it in the King James, and I'm going to share it in the Passion Translation. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. No man can have a love connection with the Father until they've established a love connection with me. The Johnson paraphrase, Jesus said plainly, I myself am the direction, the reality, and the lifestyle. You need to think about that one. Jesus said, I am the reality, I am the lifestyle. No one entered into the presence of the Father except through a relationship with me. You cannot get to the Father until you have established a love connection with the Son. It's just that simple. He said, He's the direction, He's the reality, and He's the lifestyle. He's the reality that helps you connect with God. He's the direction that points you to God. And He's the lifestyle that shows you how to stay with God. In John 15, we know it about the vine and the branches. Jesus said in verse 7, "But if you live in life union with me, and my words live powerfully within you," think about it. How do you know his words live powerfully in you? There's only one way to know. What do you think that is? You do what he says. That's the only way. And it says powerfully, you do it right away. A situation to step out of love into unforgiveness pops up. You immediately love and forgive. Folks watching out and say, "Ooh, that's powerful. I don't know if I could have forgiven that." Yes, you can. We hear all the time about people that you see them on TV, on news programs, on the First 48, Crime 360, all those types of court cam, where this person brutally killed the mother's son. And the mother loved them. The person didn't have a mother. The mother adopted them. And people wonder, how can you forgive like that? I remember this one lady, she said, "I'm a born-again Christian, and we're called to walk in love and forgiveness. I can't be a Christian and not forgive him." And they're like, "Yes, but to forgive him to that extent," she said, "there's only one way to forgive." The boy brutally murdered her son, her only son. She adopted him. "But if you live in life union with me and my words live powerfully within you, then, what do you mean then? After you live with him and his words live powerfully in you, then you can ask whatever you desire and it will be done. So if I am not living in life union with him, and his words don't live powerfully within me, it doesn't matter how many times I ask, nothing's going to change. Not because God is mad at me, but because my unforgiveness is like, it's like grease that you put on a pole so someone can't climb it. My unforgiveness doesn't allow my faith to grab hold of God's promises, because faith worketh through love. If I'm not showing love, what's my faith going to connect to? How's it going to get to me? Next question. Who is that important in your life that you will risk losing that relationship with God through Jesus Christ? Who's worth it? Verse 9, "I love each of you with the same love that my Father loves me. You need to continue, you must continually let my love nourish your heart." And look at verse 10. "If you keep my commands, you will live in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands. For I continually live nourished and empowered by his love. My purpose for telling you these things is so that the joy that I experience will fill your hearts with overflowing gladness. This is my command. Love each other deeply as much as I have loved you. For the greatest love of all is a love that sacrifices all. And this great love is demonstrated when a person sacrifices his life for his friends." I have to sacrifice my attitude. I have to sacrifice my belief. I have to sacrifice my desire to get even. I have to sacrifice those things so I can walk in the same type of love that Jesus walks in, which is the same type of love that God walks in, which means I have to forgive everybody. I don't want to forgive everybody. There's some people I wouldn't care if I never ever saw them again in life. But who I am in Christ commands that I forgive them. We need to understand something. While we have to establish a love connection, and we have, we got born again, we established a love connection. We've connected with God. Now we have to assess the connection. Is it strong or is it loose? And a thought came to mind. Your car, your automobile needs a battery to start, does it not? And they're battery cables. Sometimes you go out there, usually it happens in the winter, because in the winter you need a little more oomph when it's really cold. And you turn, you hear click. We hear click, 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 click. And we saw rebuking the devil. And we call AAA or service, the neighbor, somebody. And they come out with the jumper cables. And they pop open the hood and they look. And there's all this corrosion on the cables. Battery's not dead. But there's so much corrosion, it affected the connection. I looked up why that corrosion forms. It forms because the connection is loose. And that looseness causes arcing, which causes corrosion, which builds up. We have to check our connection, our love connection, and make sure it's not loose. Because if it's loose, something can get in between it, and my connection with God is not strong. And I may struggle to forgive or struggle to do something else because I have a loose connection. And if I don't correct it, it'll get to the point where I have no connection, where I become more connected with the corrosion than the power source. We have to understand that. How do we do that? We read the... Every time I get in trouble, I read the word, that's why I know. Don't wait till you get in trouble. Read the word and you'll see corrosion is forming. And to get that corrosion off, you can't get a little nice sponge where you just pat it away. You have to get a wire brush and scrub that thing. And you're wondering why, quote unquote, abrasive people come into your path. They're corrosion cleaners. They're designed to get the corrosion off the connection terminal. So your connection, that love connection, is solid. Solid. Solid as a rock. I didn't do it on camera. You didn't see me. Solid. When the love pedal is pushed, unforgiveness or forgiveness needs to come out. It needs to come out. And remember, it's our trust. I need to close. It's our trust that enables Christ, our faith that enables Christ to settle down in us so that we'll become grounded in love. And there's one more scripture that I need to share with you before I quit. Ephesians 2, verse 20, in the Passion Translation. You are all rising like the perfectly fitted stones of the temple, and your lives have been built up together upon the foundation laid by the apostles and prophets. And best of all, you are connected to the head cornerstone of the building, the anointed one, Jesus Christ himself. So your love connection, folks, has been established. Reach out. Make sure that your connection is secure. Father, we thank you. We give you all glory, honor, and praise. Thank you for everything that you've done in our midst this morning. Thank you for the healings that took place. Thank you for the deliverance that took place. Thank you for the word that went forth. Thank you for the joy that we have in our hearts. Thank you for the peace that passes all understanding. And thank you for the Holy Ghost, who will unveil and explain every detail of the message to all of the hearers and will show them explicitly how it applies to their lives. And when they see it, they will do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Is there anyone here? Because as I said, really as Jesus said, he is the way, he's the truth, he's the life, he's the lifestyle. No one gets to God without going through him. So you want to establish a love connection with God, you have to first establish one with the Son. And to do that, the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'd be saved. So everybody, I want to say this. Father God, I believe that you are God, and I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. I believe he was buried and went to hell, and after 3 days, you raised him from the dead. So Jesus, I ask you, come into my heart. Come into my life. I turn from my past ways as an act of repentance, and I turn towards you, and I'm asking you, make something new of me, and it's in your name that I pray. Folks, if you made that prayer for the first time, according to the scriptures, you just got born again. If you're online, use the contact us information. Say, yes, I made that confession with Pastor Greg. I'm born again, and we will send you some free information to help you get started on this new path and explain who you just become. If you're here, just raise your hand. Deacons will see you and they'll take you to a special place and give you the same free information. Amen. I'm sorry I have to rush to closing, but I got to give them time to get ready for the next service in 20 minutes. Sorry, guys and ladies. But remember, you have a love connection. And like in that TV program, God's looking at you and going like this. Because he loves you.